Take your Bibles, please, and turn tonight to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. We'll be looking at several texts in this great book. Proverbs chapter 11 will begin. Chapter 11, verse 14 says this: "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Our Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you, dear God, that your word is like a fire and it's like a hammer and it's our bread and it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Thank you, Father. This is a precious, life-saving, life-preserving book. And I pray, God, that tonight we will see to such that we are a needy people in need of truth. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone will open their hearts and their ears, that all of us, Lord, will hear and heed the wonderful things you have to say to us tonight. Thank you for this word again in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider for just a few moments tonight a very critical, extremely powerful, practical issue in the Christian life. And it concerns what the Bible calls counsel. Verse 14 again says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Right across the page in chapter 12, in verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." In other words, the combined wisdom, when it says a multitude of counselors, there is safety, it's talking about the combined wisdom and judgment of good counselors can literally save, and the word here is people, it can literally save a nation. And the absence of those good counselors can, using the Bible term, cause the people to fall. Chapter 15, look there for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, "Without counsel, purposes or plans, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." What a great text. Proverbs chapter 20, turn in there a few pages. And again, this text talks about your plans and your hopes and so forth, your decisions. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." Now, the greatest purpose of the most far-reaching purpose that a person could engage in would be a war. And so it takes that example. It does, and also in chapter 24, look there for just a moment, chapter 24 of Proverbs. And it says in verse 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, thy war. And," and here it is again, "in the multitude of counselors there is safety." You know, I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. Remember when he said, "What king going forth to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth?" Consulting means asking advice. So that even the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of seeking counsel and garnering advice as a minimum requirement for people, for example, in leadership. He's saying basically, what kind of a king, that's literally what he's saying in Luke, wouldn't first sit down and get consultation and get counsel before going to war? Well, you know, history has shown us there are a lot of kings exactly like that, and they're all very foolish. You know, Adolf Hitler, if you've ever studied World War II, and especially the Third Reich, you know, had he listened to his own generals, his own field marshals. I mean, most of Europe probably would be speaking German. And fortunately for us and for the world, he was foolish. He was a fool. If Rehoboam had sought wise counsel, you remember that great story? If he had sought wise counsel, listened to the old men instead of the young men about raising taxes, then most likely there would not have been a divided kingdom. And they may not be fighting in the way that they're fighting today. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And conversely, without counsel, the people fall. Now that brings me tonight to this. If counsel and consultation and wisdom is so important in a person's life that Christ himself would mention it as a metaphor, that the book of Proverbs is filled with it. If it's that important, I wonder how many of us tonight are A, humble enough to seek counsel, B, wise enough to give counsel, and C, discerning enough to know when. That is, when to seek it, and when to give it, and when not to give it. Amen? There's an old saying that says, don't sail out farther than you can row back. In other words, you know your limitations on counsel. And realize when counsel is appropriate and when it's not. The difference between a smart man and a wise man is that a smart man knows what to say, and a wise man knows when to say it and when not to say it. Now, let me say this. One of the most obvious lessons in all of the Bible's narratives, the wonderful stories that we all know and we all love and we've read many, many times, the biographies and histories, is something that's been obvious in my own life, and now it's been about 20 years of full-time ministry. And that is that the simple little truth, that decisions are the key to situations. For example, financial situations are a result of decisions. When someone's in a financial situation, when you winnow it all down and talk to them long enough, it's the result of a decision that they made. Marital situations are the result of decisions. Spiritual situations are a result of decisions. A lot of people decided not to come to church tonight. And I won't be a bit surprised if those who are continually unfaithful to church when they could be faithful are in a spiritual situation and they'll say, how did this happen? Even physical situations, for example, are a result of decisions. And you know, there are always exceptions to the rule. Job was an exception in some ways. Something was put upon him. And you know, you could say, well, hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes, you know, they put people in terrible situations, and that is absolutely true, even though you made a decision to live in Miami or San Francisco or Kansas. The truth remains, though, that the vast majority of problems that we encounter in people's lives, and I have in counseling, whether it's divorce or bankruptcy or rebellious children, the situation, if you go back far enough, and it may be 25 years, the situation is the fruit of an earlier decision or several decisions. Now that means this. If Christians will make the right decisions in life, well then they'll find themselves in the right situations. And obviously, beloved, the more important the decision, the greater impact on the future situation. That's why Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, it says. I have been teaching the young people in high school for many years now, and every single class that comes through there, I hammer one thing to them over and over again, and that is that the most important decisions that they'll ever make, and there are 70, they will probably make in the next 4 to 5 years. And the reason is because those decisions will affect their choice of college, which usually determines who they marry, which usually affects their future career and their families, and ultimately an entire generation. You think about that. That's why the book of Proverbs was written to the young man. Because that's when they're making those core decisions. Decisions determine situations. You know, how did Lot end up in a situation, a terrible situation, where he destroyed his testimony and lost his wife and his reputation and corrupted his children? How did he get in that terrible situation? Three words in Genesis 13:11. Then Lot chose. He just made a decision. What did he choose? Well, he chose the well-watered plains. He chose potential for money over the will of God. Last Sunday in Sunday school, I taught on Amnon. Amnon made a decision. And because he made a decision, he put the entire kingdom in a situation. He put himself in a situation where his own half-brother would murder him. And that not only ruined him, but he ruined the life of his half-sister Tamar because of his decision. He ruined the reputation and broke the heart of his father David. Absalom, in murdering his brother, was thus alienated. I mean the terrible situation of that entire kingdom for those many years because a single decision Amnon made. Because of a wicked, godless uncle who gave him bad counsel. Jonadab, he went to Jonadab and said, Jonadab said, why are you so sad? And he said, told him why. And he says, well, let me tell you what to do. And gave him bad counsel. How did the mighty Samson end up in a situation where he was blind and enslaved? He just made a decision. I've often thought about our president and how the presidency that had so much momentum and so much goodwill from the media and even from Congress. If you remember when he was first elected, it was a Democratic Congress. And he was the darling of the media. And I've thought about this over the past 8 years. It has proven to be such a disaster. Is it fate? It was just the result of foolish decisions. One after another. You say, but Pastor, our president is a very bright man. He's an Oxford grad. He's a Rhodes Scholar. And he has surrounded himself with lots of intellectuals, graduates of Yale and Harvard and Oxford. These are very bright, bright, intelligent men, and that only serves to prove, beloved, that good decisions and wisdom may have nothing to do with IQ and education. A lot of smart people are smart alecks. I'll put it this way. Decisions that are based on godly counsel rely on the help of the one who knows the future, right? But decisions that are based on human wisdom relies on the help of those who cannot see the future and usually don't learn from the past. How good can that counsel be? Now let me say this. One of the first most important principles about counsel and wisdom is found throughout the book of Proverbs. Chapter 20, I'll show you to begin with. Chapter 20. And verse 5 says this, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In other words, true wisdom is something that runs deep in the heart of a wise man. You know, the deep waters. And the man of understanding will go to that well and will draw it out. He wants that wisdom. He needs that wisdom. He seeks after wisdom. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. You see, it's really up to us to drop this bucket into the well of wisdom if you find someone who has that wisdom. And I'll tell you some examples of that in a moment. Drop the bucket in the well of wisdom and draw it out. Young people in here, don't ever make decisions about college or marriage or way before marriage, about girls or career without dropping the bucket in some deep well of wisdom. Not your seventh grade boyfriend or girlfriend. That's not a very deep well. And primarily that means dropping that bucket in the wisdom of your parents. Because not only do they have a tremendous amount of wisdom as what's best for you, but more than anybody on the face of the earth, they want what's best for you. And that is not necessarily true of that cute girl sitting across the class or the pew. It scares me to death when two young people get married. They've never really sought counsel. They've never read books on marriage. They've never studied the Bible on marriage. All they can say is, we're just in love. We're more in love than any two people have ever been, ever, ever, ever. And that scares me. Sometimes I'll do premarital counseling for anybody we ever marry here. It's required. And once in a while, I'll get a couple. And they're like this. When is this going to get over? When is this going to get over? And you know, they're the ones who need postmarital counseling. And it's not so much that I'm giving them these great gems of truth. It's really very simple stuff. Husbands love your wives, but you know, it's simple. It's not so much that they're getting these nuggets that if they don't listen, their marriage is going to fall. It's the attitude that they don't need the wisdom. Oh, this one girl, when I was a youth director, I found a note. She was 18. She was a senior, and she was going to marry a boy. And I had told her, I advised her against it because he wasn't very faithful to church. He wasn't in high school. He was, you know, like 21. She was going to marry him as soon as she graduated. And I intercepted a note that she had been passing along. And it says something about, he's got these brown, big puppy eyes that melt my heart. I mean, her whole basis for marrying this guy, you know, you ever heard saying, puppy love leads to a dog's life, amen? But her whole basis was, Emotional. Well, Pastor, I wrote Dear Abby once and I asked her advice. You might as well have asked Riley advice. Dear Riley. Dear Riley, call him. Oh, I called up Dr. Laura. You know, you want wise counsel, then do what the Scriptures say to do. You know, the Bible says that young women should go to the older women at times, talking and speaking of because they're godly and they're wise and they've been around. And young men go to the older men. That's why I go to Remo all the time and I ask them. But you know, it's funny, when I drop the bucket in the well, it's just a thunk. There's no splash. But you know, let me say this. You know, everybody, and when I'm talking about counsel and wisdom here, understand this. Everybody's got an opinion. You know, Socrates was a very opinionated, he was a Greek philosopher. He was full of opinions, and they poisoned him. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Opinions are not worth much. I've got an opinion on everything. But you'll notice, if you've been here, I don't share them from the pulpit because they don't matter. What do I think about the Subway Series, Mets against Yankees? I hate it. That's my opinion. What a waste. But I don't share it. You know, everybody's got opinions, but godly people have more than opinions. They have wisdom. And the wisest people in the world don't go around telling their opinions that affect people's lives. Wise people, if they share anything, it's usually because they've been asked. And what they share would be wisdom. If they have wisdom in a particular area, they will share it. And if they don't, they'll keep quiet. Someone came to me just a couple of weeks ago, kind of what spurred on this message. He said, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. And I said, go ahead. And they said, now I want you to know I've already asked so-and-so, someone in our church. And I said, well, what did he say? And this person said, well, he said he didn't know. And I thought, praise God for that. You don't see that very often. Usually everybody knows everything. And he said, he said, I really don't know. I can't give you advice. You know, someone once said that a bad cold wouldn't be so annoying if it weren't for all the advice you get from your friends. Isn't that true? Here, go suck on this, you know, petrified root of St. John's wort or something. This will cure it. And then someone else tells you this. Unsolicited opinions usually aren't worth all that much. I have a little saying that I repeat all the time to people. Unsought counsel is never wanted and seldom followed. So what about wisdom? What about that deep well of the wise that affects decisions for the better? The Bible says it's of more value than gold. In fact, Proverbs says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 8 says that counsel should be watched for and waited for daily at the gates and at the posts of the doors. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now, you can't always do what someone advises you to do, but you can take the admonition of Scripture and in certain cases drop that bucket. And you know, again, when maybe there's nobody around, no human vessel to seek wisdom from, you always can drop the bucket in here. And God gave you the great promise in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He says, I'll just keep giving it to you and I'll never scold you no matter how many times you ask. What a great promise. Psalm 19:7 says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I'm simple. I need the wisdom of God. So seek the word of God. Young people, seek the face of God when making decisions. Jesus, our Lord, is called Wonderful Counselor. Brings me back then very quickly to this matter of opinion. Because when it comes to giving counsel, we're going to talk about giving and receiving. Please be sure that you are giving the wisdom of God. That is, please be sure that you are sharing wisdom and not your opinion or your philosophy. Someone says, well, when I grow up, I want to go into such and such a career. Oh, no, you should never do that. How do you know? I'm going to go to such and such a college. No, you never go to that college. That's not the place for you. How do you know that? Do you really know the situation? Is every single person in that college, all of them therefore out of the will of God? You know, there's a wonderful text in Proverbs that all of us ought to know and maybe memorize with regard to giving people advice. In Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18. Look over there. We're close by anyway. Yes. This is a great text. Verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." You know, that means God says it is a foolish and shameful thing to give counsel about something if you haven't completely considered it, if you don't really know the situation. You realize there's nothing wrong with saying, "I don't know." Matter of fact, since teachers receive the greater condemnation, the Bible says, there's greater judgment to someone who gives advice, because you're going to be held accountable for what you tell someone. Sometimes it's very, very wise to say, "I don't know." Or at the very least, you know what? Give me some more information. Let me pray about it. Let me seek the Word of God. It's something I'm not sure of. Or, follow this, in some cases, how about saying, "You know what? That's a great question, but that is none of my business." You know, a man came to Luke, to the Lord Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 12, and he said, "Master, I need some advice and some help here. We have a problem with our will." Someone once said, "Where there's a will, there's lots of relatives," right? So we have a problem with the will. Will you help figure out how we're supposed to divide this up? And you remember what Jesus said? He didn't do like a lot of people would do. "Well, let me tell you what you ought to do." You know what the Lord said? This is God. He knew the situation. He said, "Who made me a judge over you in this?" Be very careful about giving counsel. Unless you know the situation and you know what the Bible says and you know the right answer for that person in that situation based upon biblical truth. You say, "Oh, but Pastor, I asked you one time if I should listen to rock music, and you immediately said no. Didn't you answer in haste?" No. I gave you that answer after 20 years of searching the Bible and working with young people. I already know what the Bible says about that topic in any situation. So that's not a hasty answer. Now, if I were to go to someone in the room, let's say if I were to go to Mike Chung over here, and I said, "Mike, do you think it'd be okay if, as a pastor, I took up gambling?" I'll guarantee you, he wouldn't hesitate. He wouldn't have to, "Let me pray about it, think about it, search the scriptures." He'd say, "Preacher, that's probably wrong." But if I were to say, "Hey, Mike, listen, my cell phone is doing this and doing this, and maybe I should change companies. What do you think?" And then he might say, "Well, you know, I don't know. It depends. Let's look and see." You see, there is a difference. But the point is, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, if you don't really know, then say, "I don't know." Or say, "I need to pray about it." Or say, "Hey, look, I know somebody who does know." People come to me all the time with questions I know nothing about. "Pastor, you know, I'm thinking about buying this car, and I'm not sure if this is the kind of car." I don't know. I'll send them to someone who does know. There's nothing wrong with that. It brings me to another vital principle for counselors, and this is the ones who are giving counsel again. And this is another one that will help a lot of people. Chapter 11, look at this. Proverbs 11 and verse 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." You know, it's talking about confidentiality. You know, someone has an important decision, and it's about a very private matter, and they come to discuss it with you, and your counsel as well as their decision ought to be in complete confidence no matter what. I'm glad that my people know that they can come to me with anything, and that nobody will know about that thing. There are limitations. If you come to me in confidence and you say, "Hey, Pastor," and I always stop people when they say, "I have to tell you something, but you can never tell my wife or my husband." I always stop and say, I never make that promise. Because if you're going to hurt somebody, you're going to do something foolish or stupid, then I don't have to keep that in confidence. But folks, let us agree tonight on this. Let us at least agree based on the scriptures that in principle, confidentiality is a virtue and talebearing is a vice. God says, he that conceals a matter is of a faithful spirit. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness to God and faithfulness to your friend. And I'm not talking about covering up sins. I'm talking about somebody's private business, somebody's problems, or somebody's important personal decisions. Be very, very protective of what somebody shares with you. In addition to so many Christians needing counsel, there are also so few of them prepared to give it. And one of the great reasons why they're unprepared to give it is because they can't keep it to themselves. And God bless you people in this room who are of a faithful spirit with other people's business. And God bless those who don't overvalue their own opinion, that they undervalue the Word of God. And God bless those who don't answer in haste a matter before he hears it and just throws out. Something happened Sunday night. Somebody asked me something, and I threw out something, and I so regret saying it. It was just one. It's a harmless little thing. But it's something that nobody needed to know, that I should not have said, that person didn't need to know. And to this day, I have regretted saying that one little small line. God does bless those who seek after wisdom for decisions. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You say, well, Pastor, I don't trust anybody's counsel but my own. Yeah. You're like the rich man in Luke 12 that Jesus called a fool. Jesus said, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? You ever seen somebody like that? Hey, self, I know what I'll do. He answered his own questions. He's like the old saying about the lawyer who represents himself in court. He has a fool for a client, right? Well, you know, the man who seeks his own counsel is getting advice from a fool. Decisions are what leads to situations. And wisdom and counsel is what makes decisions safe and blessed and profitable. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you made an important decision? Now think about it for just a moment and think about that decision that was facing you. And ask yourself, did you pray and ask God for wisdom concerning that decision? And did you stay in the Word of God and seek wisdom from God's Word with regard to that decision? A lot of times, just going to the Scriptures and obeying the Scriptures will eliminate. Open a door and close a door immediately. Like the young man that came to me and said, Pastor, you know, I work in a bar, but I get to witness. Should I do that? And it was easy. Went right to the Bible and showed him. Did you seek counsel from godly people in the area of that decision? Ask yourself another question. When was the last time you gave counsel? You actually told somebody something they should do. Was it your opinion? Be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Was it wanted? Did you just give it unsolicited? Was it wise? Was it in complete confidence? Was it given in haste before you truly heard and considered the matter? Was it even necessary? Did you even have to give it? In the multitude of counselors, there's great safety. Young people, ask and listen to your parents. Ask and listen to your parents. Oh, I don't want to talk to my mom and dad. I've got this buddy, this pal. He's really cool, and he makes a lot of money. He makes $7.85 an hour. He knows a lot. Ask and listen to your parents. Husbands and wives, ask and listen to each other. Christians, seek the counsel of God through prayer and through this book. And when it's applicable, through godly older men or older women for the ladies, seek them for wisdom and experience. If we're in a deacon's meeting and I have a couple deacons and they throw something out and they say, yeah, I don't know about this, Pastor. And I thought maybe this was the way to go. I will immediately table the idea. I trust their wisdom, mainly because of their experience. You think about this. As I thought about this when Ricky was born and holding in my arms. You know, I get one shot at this. How do I know what's right and what's wrong? You know, I mean, I'll know how to. I think I know how to do it now. I'm not positive. But, you know, you don't get a second chance at it. So, you know, it's experience that you need. And wisdom is often garnered through life's experiences, so that the only way you can acquire that kind of wisdom is to listen to those who've been down the road. It's like the junior president of Alco Aluminum. And true story, and he was about to succeed the senior president who was retiring. That man was known as a man of tremendous wisdom. And so he asked him, he said, "Sir, do you have any advice for me?" And the president said, "Sit down, son. I have two words of advice for you when you take over this place." He said, two words are, "Right decisions." And the younger man said, "That's very helpful, sir, but how does one know which decisions are right?" And the president answered him, and he said, "I'll tell you, one word, experience." And the young man said, "Sir, that's very helpful, but how do I gain that kind of experience? I'm about to become the president." And the president said, two words, "Wrong decisions." Well, folks, look. God knows that we're in a spiritual warfare. And we can't afford to make a lifetime of wrong decisions. And God knows that. God knows that we can't afford to go through our entire life and then at the age of 85 say, "Well, now I finally got some wisdom. Too bad I blew my family and my children and my church apart." So God has made it available. Thankfully, God has made available wisdom and counsel. And he admonishes us to seek for her as fine silver. Seek for her as gold. Wisdom crieth out for you. And so, before you find yourself in the wrong situation, be sure about your decision. Because decisions are what leads to situations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, God, that we have a source. We have a place of true wisdom. We even have it personified in your Son, who showed us throughout his life how wisdom acts and behaves. Father, we also have in your wonderful word so many warning signs of situations of those throughout the scripture, situations of those who were a cause of decisions made earlier in their lives. Thank you, God, for those warnings. Thank you for the promises in your word about prayer and asking for wisdom. And the admonitions, Father, thank you for reminding us that it's wise to seek counsel when we have important decisions and not to be arbitrary. Thank you, we have all of these wonderful supports. And I just ask, Father, that all of us in this room would recognize that we need it. And then that we would also be very careful not to answer a matter before we hear it. That we would be very careful, Lord, not to base other people's lives, the decisions they're going to make, on our opinions, but only on what we know to be true from your word. And I pray, God, that young people in this room will recognize that in their mom and their dad, their parents, they have the greatest source of wisdom through the authority you have set up next to your word. May they seek that constantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.